Views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Are we on?
Yep.
All right, it's welcome to Sports Talk 1240, and this is going to be an interesting night here. Gary Harding here, John Sweeney, Derek Wasiak, and John Panarese, and this is not the song I had. Oh, well, but anyway, it's Sunday night, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240, and we're going to begin this show a little bit talking about the two games that are obviously just completed. The Islanders beat the Detroit Red Wings 5-4 at the Nassau Coliseum, and the Rangers lost their second straight game, losing by a score of, Derek?
5-2
to the Washington Capitals.
Quite all right.
Well, I will say this is the first time that the Rangers lost back-to-back regulation games in 2 months, so since the end of January. So if you want to be a wise guy, I'd rather go 2 months without losing back-to-back regulation games than lose seven games consecutively at home. We can talk about whatever you want.
Did they surge too fast is my question.
Did who surge too fast?
The Rangers surge too fast.
The Rangers are in first place with a six-point lead and two games in hand.
Against Boston?
It's all about getting ready for playoffs
now.
Last time I checked, we were the first
team. It's an 8-point lead, but, you know, don't
push it. No, it's six.
That's right. We got 95. All right, I'm looking at the board.
We
got
2 today.
Right, we're 45.
The last time I checked, Sweeney, the Rangers were the first team to clinch a playoff spot, and that's a pretty good sign.
I predicted it 2 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Oh, well, when Hank got hurt? Okay,
yeah.
Right.
Anyway, Hank's back, and most Islander fans are happy.
Actually, now I know why, because my thing is not even plugged in.
Hank's back, and we're happy.
Now, how intelligent is that comment?
Well, Cam Talbot's been one of the hottest goaltenders.
Explain to me the great thing about Lundqvist coming back in the eyes of an Islander fan.
Well, let's see what happens.
Here
we go.
All right.
It's Islander hockey. Anyway, it was a great win today. We got up to Schneid. There was 0-6-1 at home. Finally, we broke it.
Against a good, solid Detroit Red Wing team.
Very good team. Right. Team surging.
Didn't look good in the beginning, though. Two goals, within a minute and 51 seconds, the Isles were down 2-0.
The Boo Birds were out. Everybody was about ready to jump off the ledge. But then they came back, got a power play goal. Three power play goals on the night, by the way.
It's the first time in 18 years they had three power play goals and a shorthanded goal. In 18 years. It's incredible.
It was a great move by Clarbuck. So, come on, Derek. We didn't get to see it, so tell us a little bit about what happened today.
Were they really booing early in the game?
Yeah, they were. They were.
3-point night out of Johnny T., and the Islanders are back.
Five
games to go.
They're back?
Yes, they're back.
Hopefully so.
They still got a clinch, right?
They played the way they were playing a month and a half ago. They're playing the way they played.
Now, rumor I heard was that they had a team-only meeting. Is that true? I caught part of when I came back from dinner, they were Howie Rose and Butch Goring were talking about it, and I thought they said they had a team-only meeting.
It very well could be possible. I did not hear that per se, but I know Johnny T was making some comments and some things about that, you know, the guy's got to be held accountable, and maybe he stepped up and started showing his captain's medal. I hope he did.
Gary and John, I want to ask you a question now. They moved Strome up to Johnny's the first line with Johnny. What do you think of that move? I'm happy with it.
I'm okay with it, but to me, I'm more happier with the Nikolai Kuhlman move, putting him up with JT.
I agree.
Because to me, you know, the injury to Kyle Poso meant that, you know, his game was struggling since he came back. He's missing his touch. He wasn't doing a lot in the corners. He wasn't the Kyle Poso that we knew and love. And to me, Nikolai Kuhlman has been an absolute beast to be. You know, he's the guy. You know, his size and his strength. I mean, that's what JT needs to get away from some of these guys that are crashing and banging him every night.
So is that what it was today, Kuhlman?
Yes, Kuhlman, Strome, and Tavares. And it showed because Johnny had. Strome had a goal. Johnny Tavares had 3 points today.
Nicoletti, a couple points on the back line. Yeah, they looked increasingly better.
So you guys must be disappointed that they haven't upped their performance since Kyle came back, though, right?
Well, Kyle had 2 points as he came back.
What was that, their second win since he came back?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Yeah, like 2-5, I think.
That's got to be a little shocking, no?
Well, you know what?
No, you're right.
No, you know what?
You're going against these teams with the goaltenders. You're going against Minnesota. You're going against Montreal Price. You're going against these guys. Anderson, the fastest guy, goalie, to get the 50 wins in the history of the NHL.
Okay.
The
Well, what, yeah, do you think, what do you think you're going to get
even
in the
though
playoffs?
You guys beat him up
well,
a
that's
bit.
Just it. His, you know, my, yeah, I'm of
you know, for a guy who turns around team. And calls me all the time and tells me how, oh my God, Cam Talbot's so good. You're going to sit there and tell
Cam
me that
Talbot's
it's not.
One of the guys.
You're going to tell me that that's not a mark against the Islanders not picking up their play since Kyle came back. Arguably, the second
they
or third
him.
Most important player on
they
the
missed
team.
Him terribly. He was second. The team in points with 44.
You know, you got a lot more to say off air than you do on air. That
well, here's my feeling.
Go ahead, John. John, be the voice of reason.
The Islanders have not played badly during this stretch. You know, if they were getting blown out every night, if they were losing 7-2, 6-1, I would have really had my concerns. I think the problem that the Islanders are facing right now is the reality that they are fighting teams that are trying to make the playoffs, and they have to kind of learn that mentally they've got to be even tougher at this point in the season.
Do you think in some cases, John, they need to play with almost like a desperate
yes.
mentality?
Yes, I believe it's playing with desperation and you know with a sense of urgency, I believe, is the Butch Goring way of saying things, which
right.
they've been lacking.
The gospel according to Butch.
But shouldn't they be playing like that anyway?
You're right.
No, agreed. But that,
like, there's nothing that separates me, them from anybody anymore because they were the first place team for a while
right.
with a good lead. And now they're in the same boat as Washington.
You know, and I'm not one on the Cappy bashing bandwagon. I am not. I'm ambivalent in that case. But you know what? To me, that's a difference between an Alain Vigneault coach team, who I loved when he was coaching Vancouver for years.
Yeah, he's
you know, it's a tip. It's the type of coach that he is. He gets those guys to make sure they're playing on the same keel every single game. If there's corrections to be made, he knows where the corrections are. Jack Capuano's never been in this situation before. No matter what you say about him. So
it's his first head coaching job.
Right. First NHL head coaching job.
And it's
right.
also, you know, being at this point, you know, when the Islanders made the playoffs a few seasons ago, it was the shortened season.
Right.
So you really couldn't judge as a measuring stick. But now you're going through the 82-game campaign.
Right.
And, you know, my feeling is this. If the Islanders can weather this storm, it's only going to make them better in the playoffs. You know, that's my feeling about it. I'm just hoping that the turbulence is now, you know, they've learned their lesson.
Right. They got that W out today. They got 3 days off before they fly out to Columbus to face the Blue Jackets on Thursday. You know,
Columbus has been seven of eight,
I think. They're hot of late.
Another red hot.
They won
team.
Six or seven in a row, man.
Yeah, right. They are. I mean, you know, they know they're in that spoiler category right now, and they have anything they can do to, you know, put a damper on people, you know, that's a good thing. So, you know, they got a couple of days off to rest and get their systems back in order. I mean, unfortunately, the Islanders finally gave up a power play penalty killing goal. They went, 29 in a row or something like that.
Yes.
I mean, they were dead last in the league for how long? So, you know, unfortunate. But again, they got a great shorthanded goal by Cal Clutterbuck, a great deflection of a pass, and then 150 feet in, made a beautiful deke and off the Detroit goaltender, and off they went.
Yeah, Nelson had a power play. Strome had a power play. Kyle had a power
Brock
play.
Brock Nelson scored a goal today?
Yeah, finally.
19th.
Is it fair of me to say it's
19th.
About time?
Yeah, fair of you to say.
Scored a 16th and Strome
scored a 16th.
I would say he has he's got to be part of the reason why they've been losing lately.
Everybody has not been scoring.
To me, it's a collective effort.
Yeah, but like John said,
he had a lot of goals early on. You were piling on wins, though, no?
He did.
Listen, I ain't looking to pick on you guys, but you're going to bear the brunt because Sweeney is a pain in my neck on a daily basis. Okay?
That's how it
really?
Is.
Really? Tell me all
that's
about
it.
Something.
I'm not going to try and comment like I study your team inside and out, but I would say from afar, because I do not watch every hour of the game, mostly because when I do watch, they tend to win, so that's why I don't watch the game.
Mostly because you don't want to hear the person to your right.
Without knowing full well, I would say a big part of their problem right now is they're a young team. And a lot of these guys aren't familiar with being in this kind of a position.
I agree
with you 100%.
And I think their team has upgraded to at least a good degree defensively just by the preseason additions of Letty and Boychuk. However, that's probably the only thing I would worry about with the team because they do score goals. They're one of the better teams, top three, top four teams.
Minus
scoring,
the last eight games, but you're right.
On a per-game basis. You know, and what they showed you today, you got to say to yourself, well, finally, this is what I've been accustomed to all season long. But I think the youth, these are the things that stick out in my mind with the Islanders without being a guy that sits there every game and watches.
I mean,
it's Capuano. Say whatever you want about him. I still think he's a coach of the year candidate, and he's only the second coach other than Al Arbor to win more than 43 games.
Yep. No question.
Okay, and that's a team accomplishment also. So they got 45 wins now. That's one. Second is, Halak has the single season record for wins by a goalie. So, once again, I know all the Islander history of success is tied basically into a 10-year period, but still, to beat a Billy Smith record for a regular season, to me, that's a big accomplishment.
Absolutely.
So, to me, the goaltending is there. And the one difference between Capuano and Halak is, Halak has had playoff success. When he was with Montreal
that run they made.
See, Johnny likes to talk to me about Carey Price, and I keep telling him, Carey Price hasn't done anything in the playoffs. He's got one good playoff series victory against Boston last year.
Yep.
But in 2010, when the Flyers went to the Cup, Halak was the goalie in the playoffs.
Yes.
And he knocked off Pittsburgh and Washington.
Right.
In back-to-back series, and both series, if you were watching, it was quite evident that he stole each series.
Yep.
Right.
So I think that, you know, the fact that he's got an Islander record his first year here, he's got the playoff success, so I'm a little more comfortable, I would think, as an Islander fan with him in looking at the goalie situation than with the head coach, only because Capuano's only been to the playoffs once.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, it's a young team. And regardless of what you want to think, I understand the Islanders got off to a monster start, 19-7 at one point.
Yep.
But all those games count just as much as these down the stretch. So maybe they're not sweating as much by picking up a win today because of all those wins they got early. But he's the head coach, and I think his biggest struggle is getting these young guys to play shift in and shift out.
Right.
With the effort level that's necessary. Yeah. For whatever
Brock Nelson is definitely one of the biggest examples of that.
Yeah, all right.
I totally agree. By the way, Pittsburgh's up now 2-0 on San Jose.
All right.
In the first period.
Here we go left. We got Columbus on Thursday.
Okay.
We come back home.
For Buffalo.
Buffalo.
Which should be a gimme.
We go to Philly.
That's going to be tough.
We go to Pittsburgh.
Tough.
And then we come back home
for
the
Columbus.
End of season,
you know, I would
the
say
11th against Columbus.
I would say Columbus is easy normally, but not now.
No,
not at all. They finally got over the 500 mark. They've
so
played
five
great
games. You got to win three out of those five.
They just won in St. Louis last night.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's gonna be tough.
Yeah, they want to play that spoiler role in there perfectly for it. But you know what?
Three out of five.
We did say we were going to talk about something else. And
yeah, we could save the Ranger talk for afterwards. We could go to.
We got plenty of time to do that. If you got any phone calls, we're going to talk a little baseball now. 888-631-888-8811.
Oh, I like this song. This reminds me of when I was a kid.
Yeah, I had to bring this out tonight because, you know, all of us sitting in this room are followers of the orange and blue. This is one time where Derek likes his orange. Okay,
that's right.
But Derek also was a Cleveland Indians fan.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I'm not a diehard fan. Like when I was a kid, big Yankee,
big Dave Kingman,
big Net fan, right? Big Dave Kingman guy, big Thurman Munson guy. But nowadays, I don't sell myself as a diehard baseball fan.
Okay. I love the Mets.
Right.
Gary and John love the Mets.
Oh yeah,
this is about you three.
And Gary and Derek like the Mets. So it's one thing we do agree on, and we are Jet lovers, both of us together. So we both have green blood for that.
Yeah, we get to suffer together.
That's another one.
He's the enemy right now. I'm giving him the stink eye right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And good thing if you're watching on the webcam.
So baseball's starting up. Are you guys getting excited? Because it's still snowing outside.
Yeah.
I had a shovel yesterday.
I remember a couple of years back, maybe this is like maybe 10, 11 years back, it was the Mets home opener, and it was flurrying out. I remember that.
It's happened on a rare occasion.
I used to go to every home opener. It was like one of these games where everyone was wearing a snorkel coat and everything. It was crazy. Remember they had to cancel.
All right, so let me throw the first thing out there.
Go ahead.
What do you guys think about the fact that the GM, Sandy Olsen, came out and said that our number one pitcher, Mr. Harvey, isn't going to pitch opening game at Shea? That's at Shea, City Field. I still say Shea. I can't get that word out of my head.
City Field, you could say Shea.
I know. I get
same
it.
Same thing.
It's not like Howie Rose racing.
Mets Field, whatever you want.
Man, I'm not going to get fined every time.
To me, that's a big disappointment on opening day, not putting Harvey in there.
Yeah,
he's your franchise. He's your superstar. He's everything. You think of the Mets, and right now you're thinking of Harvey. It used to be David Wright. Now it's Harvey now.
I mean, do
you not start him?
I mean, do you love the fact that, you know, that first outing he came out there, that he was throwing 99-mile-an-hour BBs?
And he was upset that he didn't hit 100.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he let up one run in spring or something like that?
So, I mean, obviously you don't base any statistical number on what's going on. The only thing you can concern yourself with, as far as a pitch is concerned, is your ball strike count is good.
Right.
And right now he's doing that. I mean, he's blowing hitters away. He's cracking, he's breaking bats every time the guys get up. I mean, you know, you're happy about it. But then, of course, they announced after that that the soon-to-be on Medicare, Mr. Cologne, is going to be the opening day starter.
I don't understand. He's an innings eater, though.
Yeah, that is true.
Does it have to do with the weather? Now, see, I got to ask you guys the same thing I asked my father. My father reads the papers. I'm like, well, why is Cologne the starter? Is it because they just want to keep his pitching schedule the same? I mean, guys don't just pitch when they come out for their spring training outings for their 40, 50, 60 pitches. So is it just to keep him in line with whatever he's scheduled? You know, this is all part of his rehab and staying strong and coming back full tilt and being able to give you as close to 200 innings as possible. He's not going to want to. He's not going to want to be shut down like Strasburg was.
No.
Maybe they're going to ease him in a little
more.
So
is it maybe just smart because it's cold here anyway? Why would I want to even bother? Like, I understand the prestige. Like, Tom Seaver always started opening day.
Oh,
I understand that.
Exactly.
But maybe because of his pitching schedule and what he's doing, maybe that's just the way it is. Maybe that's just the way it falls, so he just got it out there right away.
Well, you get all the naysayers on all the blogs and everything else that's saying, oh, they're doing it because they want to get 40,000 people on a Thursday night as opposed to opening night when you know you're going to get that full house. Anyway.
Right, and I've heard, my dad told me the same thing. Yeah. They're going to sell out opening day, so he'll – all right, fine.
Yeah.
Which they always do, yeah.
Yeah.
But do you want to hear about Harvey going down again? Because I got to be honest with you. I told you, I'm not as diehard as I was when I was a youngster.
Right.
But Harvey, I can honestly say I like him as much as I liked Dwight Gooden.
But you know,
and I was depressed when he was out for a full season. I thought that was a big dent in the Mets.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, John, you know the reason why he's such a big Matt Harvey fan? Because Matt Harvey's
a big Ranger fan.
Look at the change.
I didn't think about it. Right until you said you know why. But I got to be honest with you. This guy, since day one, excellent pitcher.
Oh, well,
tremendous poise for a young guy.
Yeah.
And he's a meticulous worker. And I am fully confident that this guy's coming back,
and sometimes
and he's going to be full go from the
you know, and sometimes
that
pitch. That crash and cockiness that you see sometimes out of him, you know what? I think that's sometimes a good thing. You know, if you do it right, you know, if you're not just, you know, being a show off and a big mouth, you know, you know sometimes you know they say put it up or shut up. He puts up and
right.
He puts up the right things.
Yeah. Well, maybe Derek has a point there. Maybe they're going to pitch him when they're on the road and they won't use him for whatever. But
I didn't track spring training with the Mets, so I don't know his days fall.
I mean, the other thing, of course.
And he's going to pitch after opening day, right? The second
right.
or third game.
And,
so
of course, you know, when you gain one from Tommy John surgery, now we've lost two.
Yeah.
Because you had Josh Edge, your left-hander out of the bullpen. He's gone. Right. He's done for the year. Zach Wheeler's done for the year.
Right. But Dylan G stepped it up there. Went 7 innings, 2 runs. He had a good outing today.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's the type of guy you know you're going to be able to put out whatever role you need. So you put him in the bullpen, you put him in the bullpen. If he's going to start, now he's going to be your number 5 guy. Oh, we do get a call in the air?
Yeah.
All right. Who are you?
Rich,
what's up, buddy?
I'll talk about the Mets or the Islanders. Your choice.
Oh, it could be Islanders suicide hotline for you.
Why would that be suicide?
No. The Islanders, they're at the level I thought they would be before the year began.
Okay.
In the East overall.
If
they finish seventh, they'll play Montreal with the Rangers.
Oh, that's quite different than the guy that had the plans for a parade down Hempstead Turnpike. But I'll let you change your opinion. That's fine.
Well, I started drinking the John Sweeney Kool-Aid.
You guys were sucking on that straw pretty hard, I got to say.
And I slapped myself and I said, no, I'll stick with the original thought. They're no better than sixth in the East. So if they play Pittsburgh, I can see them winning. I can't see them beating Montreal or the Rangers.
Me neither. I tend to agree with that at some point. I mean, being a realist. I mean, you know, John's got the Kool-Aid on high test now. But
no, I agree with you guys. I mean, the bottom line, Rich, honestly, for this season, I mean, they're having a fantastic season. Nobody expected this season this year. But if they get out of the first round this year, I will be ecstatic. You have to win that first playoff round and get out of there. To me, if this is just me personally, they lose in the first round and they don't advance, it's a loss of a season. Even though they had a great year.
I don't think so.
That's my opinion.
I think you, Derek, might have to put John on the suicide hunt.
All right, Cronus, listen.
22 years without a playoff.
Cronus, I got this question for the three Islander guys here, but this is a question for you, and then you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And you can answer this now or at the end of the before we hang up on you. But all factors the same. Rangers Islanders win in the first round or you just lose. So here's the question. Would you rather the Islanders lose in the first round or would you rather win in the first round and lose to the Rangers in the second round?
I don't want to lose to the Rangers under any circumstances.
Well, these are the only – you have to make a choice. That's the question for an Islander fan.
That doesn't make it – yeah.
I would
– being that we – being that I have all those nice, shiny things in the history, if they lose to the Rangers, I can live with it, unlike 1979, which was very hard for me as an Islander fan in Manhattan. Right. I can live with it now, but not back then.
So would you rather win in the first round and lose to the Rangers, or would you rather just lose in the first round?
I'd rather go as far as possible.
Thank you.
Yes. Oh, me too.
Me too.
Me too.
Really?
No,
okay. I mean, as a season, as a long-term season ticket holder, I have free first-round tickets, and I've got, you know, we have the play as you go or whatever, because they don't want to do refunding money, obviously, because the change of venue and everything else. So I want to actually be able to spend a couple of bucks on a playoff ticket for a change. So yeah, I mean, to me, we have to win that first round.
All right. So I'm going to be honest with you here.
Yeah.
The four of you, since you're on the phone and you're a lousy Islander fan, too.
I
can say emphatically that I would rather lose in the first round than lose to the Islanders in the second round. That I can assure you.
I promise not to get on your back if it happens.
So I am interested in all your responses, but I would not.
Well, you have a different perspective. The Rangers, you went to the Stanley Cup Finals last season. You've made.
Yeah, but we didn't win. So
but the point is, the Islanders haven't won gotten out of the first round since 1994. So from my perspective, I'd rather see them get out of the first round for a goddamn change.
As a matter of fact, my wife and I have been together. My wife and I have been together now 22 years. Okay, our first date, I mentioned on the air, was an Islander Hartford Whaler game in the 93 run.
Right.
And we started going together, and that was the last time the Islanders won a playoff round.
Wow.
All right, when we first started going out together, and it was you know that Washington series. That was a magical series, other than the Turgeon hit. But I want to see it again. You know, I mean, this is my, obviously you didn't renew your seats this year. This is my last year in 20 out of 28 years. I want something special to come out of it. So, I mean, it's first round of bust.
How many points do the Islanders have so far?
95.
Before the year began, I said they'd finish with 92.
So you were wrong.
I said 94.
The Rangers to finish with 104.
That's pretty good.
So the Islanders, if they continue this slump, they're going to finish better than I thought they would anyway.
Hey, Rich, you got any special lottery numbers for Tuesday, maybe?
You know, I've never played the lottery, but I do have six numbers that I would play in. They've never come out, and they're the retired numbers.
There you go.
For the Mets, like great Mets retired numbers under whatever, 48 that you need to have. But anyway, let me ask you about the Mets.
Go for it.
I am a Met fan, too. Now, this whole thing about who pitches the opening day, there are 162 games. Does it matter who pitches game one or game two?
It doesn't really matter to me. The only reason I brought it up is because I was hearing it on other radio stations and everybody.
On the road anyway. What does it matter if?
No, but everybody. But see, that's the thing, Rich. Everybody's projecting what's going to happen. You know, and again, I put myself in almost in that same category. But some people moan and groan about every little thing that goes on in Metland, and everybody's complaining. Oh my God, that means that Harvey's not going to start opening game. Why?
No, people. Well,
I would have Harvey pitch the first game at home.
People love to complain. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Washington National fans care who pitches for the Mets?
No, because they're going to beat the living daylights out of them anyway.
Now, who's going to pitch for Washington in their home opener, Strasburg or Scherzer?
No, I think Scherzer. I think they said Scherzer's going to pitch.
Yep.
Yeah, because even though Strasburg has been there longer, Scherzer is the more accomplished pitcher. And they paid a lot of money for him, so I guess they want to show him off the first.
Listen, let's just nix this. I got to be honest with you, Rich. If Harvey didn't miss a year... If Harvey did not miss a year because of his elbow, he'd be starting opening day. I really think that's a blanket answer. That's it. If people want to complain about it, people just want to complain. But I think it has more to do with his pitching schedule. It's not that he's favoring Bartolo Colon.
I don't think it matters who pitches game one.
Well, it's a prestige thing, so be it. He brought it up because that's what fans talk about. Don't be pigheaded about it. Don't be, because you're on our show. Don't be pigheaded about it.
Rich, I want to ask this question.
It's a topic on the radio. It's not
like with the Mariners where they have to start King Felix.
All right, hold on. Before you go, Rich, there's one question I want to ask you. We're going to do our baseball picks in a little bit. What do you think?
Figured out how
he doesn't know anything about baseball.
He's a Met fan.
He's a draft guy for hockey.
I'm just wondering what you thought the Mets were going to do this year, but that's okay. All right.
Their offense clearly needs help. I still don't think they have much offense.
No, see, I disagree with that. You know what? That's why I don't ask you about baseball.
I don't know if we're going to see a return of David Wright or we.
Well, again, it's
well, listen, that's all going to have to factor in because if there's two guys that have to hit for this team to be successful.
Granderson.
It's Curtis Granderson and David Wright.
Right.
Yep.
I'm not saying Wright needs to pop the ball 25 times.
Again, as I said, you still don't count statistics and stuff. But if you look, who's got more runs in the National League or actually any Florida team this season preseason? But the Mets are.
Yeah.
So is Michael Kadire going to be another Jason Bay?
I don't know.
No.
He's had a great spring, hasn't he?
He's had a very good spring.
Him and Chris Bryant.
Spring doesn't matter.
I understand.
Right, but he doesn't matter.
He's been knocking the ball around. He has.
Again, they changed batting coaches, and the team has been hitting. I mean, let's hope if that continues when they walk into Citi Field in the middle of April, are you not going to be happy if they're getting 12-run games and 11-run games when they were struggling to get two or three?
I don't see the offense on this team.
Well, listen, Lucas Duda hit 30 homers last year. They pulled in the fences. Kadire can hit. Legaris is an old-world center fielder. Legaris can hit a baseball.
He's also
Granderson can pop the ball out of the park, and David Wright can hit.
Believe
your only problem in terms of your position players is you are not strong up the middle
and
defensively.
And Murph's a contact hitter.
Second and shortstop. You're not strong defensively there.
No.
That's the biggest downfall, and your catcher is still learning on the fly.
Question mark.
I like Daniel Murphy.
But the pitching staff.
Well, he's a very nice hitter, but he's not. I'm talking defensively.
Our pitching staff's top three or four in the whole league. So there you go. If not better.
Dodgers, Giants.
All right, we're going to cut you loose now.
All right, yeah, Rich.
You have any last words for your Islanders?
We're going to let go. Look, 100 points this year, Rich. We're going to play Pittsburgh in the first round. We got home ice.
That's
my opinion.
I see them winning again.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, Rich.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take
a break first?
Yeah, let's take a quick break.
We got any music leading to this break or nothing?
That's great. We'll go with our old music. What else?
All right.
All right, we'll be back in a few minutes, pay for a couple of bills. This is Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
And AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to live broadcasts online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA, or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
All right, and we're back. We're going to spend the next half hour discussing the baseball situation. And just as we were talking about, you know, the lack of hitting for the Mets. I'm just looking at the Grapefruit League standings right now.
Right.
In 27 games, the most runs scored in the Grapefruit League, the New York Mets, 160 runs.
They're playing well.
They are playing. They're 16-11. Rich is right. Stats don't mean much. I mean, look at the Giants. I think they were last in the preseason last year. They're last in the Arizona League, 9-19. You know, but, hey, we all know what they did.
The guys, they snuck in on the wild card, too.
Mm-hmm. They sure did. But, again.
You got to give them a B-plus with their starting rotation, right? You got Harvey, DeGrom. You got the rookie of the year from last year.
Yep.
Matt Harvey's one of the best pitchers in the league. I don't care how many starts he has.
Absolutely.
All right, you got Jonathan Neese and Dylan Chee with past starting experience.
And Colon.
Okay, and Bartolo Colon. That's
who's
a pretty
gonna,
good.
He's gonna, as you said, he's going to eat you in it.
So if you can bank on them having.
We got a call in, too? All right.
Yes, we got a call. Hi, I'm Chris from Lake Ronkonkoma.
What's going on, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
I got a question for John Sweeney, if you would answer it, please.
Sure.
John, are you there?
Yes.
John, I know you're an avid Thoroughbred racehorse fan, and you're a very good handicapper, and you're always up on the big races. Are you ever going to have a show on the upcoming big races for Thoroughbred?
When it gets closer to the Kentucky Derby.
When it gets closer to the Kentucky Derby.
Is that the first big race?
Being a handicapper that you are, can you give us insight on any of the horses that you hunt?
Can you give him a winning horse that he can bet his mortgage on?
Well, let me just tell you something about John Sweeney. He used to have a blog, and he picked Vic Brown. He said that the Roses horse could not lose the Belmont Stakes, and he was correct on that. I think he's got a 50% ratio in handicapping on Thoroughbred races.
Really?
So I'm just wondering.
I'm learning something.
This is amazing.
Yeah. No wonder he redid his house.
It's
a kitchen you put together.
Listen.
He guaranteed Big Brown to win the Derby.
All right.
And he guaranteed that Philly to win the Belmont Stakes. That impressed me. But when we get a little closer, I mean, but doing your handicapping now, do you have any idea of any horses that you think might be
Can you give him one to chew on till then?
Yeah, I got a list right here. Hold on.
He's pulling something out of his pocket.
I just happened to go over this. Dartman is the favorite. He hasn't lost all year, okay?
But, John, let me ask John, one question before you go there.
Because I was looking this over the other day.
I like the Oaks better than the Derby. And I was wondering if you could tell me what you think about the Kentucky Oaks, if you have any, you know, what your contenders are in the Kentucky Oaks.
I think there's more value
in
the Oaks.
What do you say to that, John?
I will tell you in a minute.
I thought we were doing the baseball.
Yeah, really. We're supposed to be doing baseball, guys.
Call in another month and a half.
Are we supposed to hold the game? Trying to make a few bucks.
Thanks
for calling. You can call in May. All right, thanks.
We're going to have a special OTB show coming up in the near future. So go with us as we get back to the baseball.
That was a good call because I never knew that. I know who I'm going to be hitting up now.
There you go. Really.
I start the horse racing stuff now. And so does Rich from Manhattan that was on before. We go over this thing and we work it out and figure out who we have. But
that's good.
So, again, you got to be happy. So far, things are looking well at the starting lineup. Again, now the big question is who's going to close? I mean, Mejia had a nice year last year. Had, 33, 34 saves? You got Bobby Parnell coming back from his injury problems.
Right.
You know, and what are you going to expect with him? You now need a left-handed reliever in the worst way because you lost Josh Edgen, and he was your key 7th and 8th inning bullpen guy.
They might not even have one to open the season.
I don't think so.
As we speak.
Because you look at it, who's your lefty pitchers? I mean, this guy Dario Alvarez that's listed here. I mean, you got to, hope on him or Sean Gilmartin. So again, another guy I don't have any idea.
I don't even know who that is.
So without question, the bullpen's the biggest question mark.
It's been how long have we been Met fans? The bullpen's been our problem almost as long as we've been watching this team, for all this time.
Mejia did a
he's going to be the closing star, though.
Right? Yeah, I would think so. I think it's got to be his to lose.
Right.
Yeah, I think Parnell has to work
his way
off back
the season as a starter.
I don't even think he's throwing as hard as he's accustomed to yet.
He's almost there. He's there. Yeah, because they expect him to go up with the team. So.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, again, the big question is, looking at, obviously, the disappointing season Granderson had last year, the moving the fences in, getting Kevin Long back as his hitting coach. I mean, you could see there's a little jump in his swing. It looks like a little more of a promising year for him than it was his first year as a Met.
He looked pretty good this spring when I saw him at the plate. And they pulled the fences in some. He's probably good for 20-plus.
It's going to make a difference. I mean, they said, though, moving in the fences that number of feet, they said Wright would have got, another 6 or 7 more home runs because that's right in his wheelhouse, that right center field alley there. So, I mean, you got to hope that they improve on themselves. Now, looking at the rest of the National League, obviously, you're looking at Washington. Again, we talked about it already with Matt Scherzer picking up. you know, they've got to be the team to lose. And again, you know, for their entire career as the Washington Nationals, they've done the Mets nothing but fits.
I think Washington's set to go far this year.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, looking at the rest of the NL East, I mean, Atlanta's struggling. They've lost some guys. Philadelphia, we don't even have to. They're totally in the back mirror.
Right.
No, I like the Marlins. I like the Nationals. I like their lineup. I love their starting pitching.
No.
I mean, you're putting
they're the best starting pitcher next to, well, maybe the Dodgers.
Gio Gonzalez, a former Cy Young Award winner, is your number three.
Yeah, number three guy. Sir,
yeah. You got Strasburg with Scherzer, Zimmerman, Gio Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
and Doug Fist is what, the five starter or the four starter?
Yeah, Doug Fist is the fifth.
The bullpen, you got Drew Storen's going to close, right? He's pretty good.
He's when he gets
and
out
the lineup, you got some speed in center field with Denard Span, right? A little banged up right now. But he's got speed. And Bryce Harper, he's got to take off no better time than now. I would predict, I don't think it's a big prediction on my part, but I think Bryce Harper is going to have a big season at the plate.
Will we have a Trout-like season, maybe?
Well, that's what
I'm not saying he's going to be like Mike Trout, but I think from a power standpoint, I think he's going to pick up. I think he's going to come closer to 25 and 100 this year.
I mean, think about it. We're talking about him like he's an old man. What is he? 20?
No, he's young. 20,
I was going to say 22.
Yeah.
If he's 22,
he started young.
I don't think he has the capability of doing what Trout could do.
Right.
You know, Trout's incredible. You know, with his numbers that he puts up, but. Harper is very good.
The arm as well. I mean, the defense and the throwing. Incredible. He's just incredible.
He's all around the best player in baseball, by far.
He's a monster.
He's the best player. Maybe
6'3", 230?
Yeah. Best player
6'3", 230 pounds. The kid's a monster. I would say he's poised to really break out. He's had some injury woes at times, but I think he's going to have a big season for
them. In the AL East, I think the Nationals are going to just run away with this thing.
That will be the NL East.
You think they're going to run away with
it? NL East.
Just run away with it.
That's what I said.
All right.
In at least. I think they're just going to run away.
I mean, Jason Worth's pretty good. I don't really necessarily think he's worth the money they gave him, but he's pretty good. I like their infield with Ian Desmond and Yunel Escobar up the middle. Not too bad, right? Zimmerman switches over to first base, and Rendon takes over third base.
Yeah.
That's pretty good across the diamond.
Yeah, it's a solid team.
Especially at the plate. All four of those guys can hit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And then they got Ramos behind the plate. He'll be fine. But their starting pitching's outstanding. And their bullpen looks decent.
Now, yeah, Starring,
I don't think it's anything special, but it's probably
Starring's going to do a good job.
Looking at some of the other teams, again, I'm just looking at the San Francisco Giants roster. Obviously, they lost their Kung Fu Panda and Mr. Sandoval going over to the Boston Red Sox.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're having obviously a lousy start, but I mean, you look at that lineup. They still didn't really lose that many people other than him. I mean, they've won the World Series in 5 years.
Yeah. But I would say this: if you in that division in the NL West, you would have to say the Dodgers because they just got a little better.
The Dodgers really disappointed me last year in the playoffs by losing to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Dodgers got a little better, but I'm gonna tell you, to me personally, in that division, I think there's a surprise team in that division.
You're talking about the San Diego Padres,
yes, sir.
Well, how could they be a surprise if they spent all that money?
They're surprised now because they haven't really done anything in a long time.
Yeah, but they finally got it. They finally got to the ownership and got them to get their act together and get the talent that they need in that ballpark.
Exactly.
The Giants still have most of their lineup there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't discount them. You got Bumgarner, you got Kane, you got Peavy, you got Hudson, you got Lidscombe. So,
$17 million fifth starter.
I mean, really? Yeah.
Nice.
What do you got with San Diego?
San Diego got Kemp.
You think they're a playoff team, definitely?
Yes.
You think they're definitely a playoff team?
Yes. They traded for Will Myers, which was the superstar coming out of Tampa.
All right.
James Shields with the year he had in Kansas City.
James Shields going to have a good year. Yeah.
James Shields choked, absolutely choked in the playoffs. Do you think he's going to be great for them?
Well, he's going
he's
to
only getting
back
could be a good regular
he's
season
going
guy.
To the National League, yeah.
And Will Myers batted .222 last year. How good was that?
Yeah, I know. Well, I know that.
He hasn't played more than 80 games yet in a season.
He was a phenomenon coming out when he came out, but he hasn't really.
There's a lot of unknown there with
San Diego. You got Kemp, who had an off year last couple of years from injuries.
Upton.
Kemp could be big time.
And they went out and got
Justin Upton, I do like. He's got good power.
Yeah. Curse Quentin, too. Yeah, I mean, their only problem is in the middle.
They still have the Dodgers.
Their only problem is up the middle. I mean, they're betting a lot on guys like Will Middlebrooks at third base.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything special about that.
And Maurice at shortstop. You know, I mean, they're betting on these guys to do unbelievable things.
I think their success is going to be based on other teams' failures, to be honest with you.
I think there's a lot of hype with them because Justin Upton and Matt Kemp were brought in. Okay, big game, James. I don't see it. I watched them all postseason. The KC Royals did not advance because of him. I'm sorry.
No.
And I don't think he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. Do I like Kennedy? Yeah, he's a good strikeout pitcher.
I think the rest of that rotation
needs to prove themselves. So I would still give the Dodgers and the Giants an edge over them, which means I definitely don't think they're a playoff team.
Might be a good guy during the regular season, but again, like as you said, you know, even when he played with Tampa too, you know, he just in the postseason he just was not the same type of pitcher.
Well, how long is Hunter Pence going to be out for the Giants? They lost to Panda. How long is Pence going to be out with that broken arm? Who's he going to make, 6 to 8 weeks?
Yeah, he'll be out till early June.
Okay. So that's going to kill their season?
I don't think it's going to kill their season, but it's not going to be the cakewalk that they were expecting.
I'm not saying that I think that they're clearly making the playoffs either, San Francisco, but I don't see San Diego being clearly heads above them.
But the big question is, what do you think is going to happen out at Wrigley Field?
See, now there's another team people are going to get all hyped up with.
Well, again, everybody thought about Joe Maddon. They thought, oh, my God, it's going to be like night and day, and Theo Epstein's finally going to get the roster and everything he needs to do to get himself moving up. I still think this team is at least a couple of years away.
Yeah. I agree with you. They got a young team, and I will tell you this. They're going to have a rookie of the year this year. You know who he is?
What, Bryant?
Nope.
No? With Solar?
Solar.
You think Solar is going to be a rookie of
the year? Yeah, I think he is.
He's a big power kid.
Bryant's going to be right behind
6'4", 215, big boy.
I like Anthony Rizzo.
He's one that I think is going to have a chance to really shine. Stalin's not making the money either. This is his time to really push that contract in.
Now, Starlin Castro's a little up and down at shortstop, but he's okay. Decent defensively, but, you know, he's pretty good at the plate when he's going good.
You know, a very young pitching staff with the exception of Edwin Jackson, but you got, again, a guy like Montero behind the plate. They got a good, confident catcher back there to help these guys build up.
They went out and got Lester, right?
John Lester's a big addition. So that's a big plus for them. And I think Anthony Rizzo becomes a big-time power hitter.
I could see 35 at least out of him.
I agree with you on George Solo.
Yeah. Solo's going to win rookie
year. I think he's going to be excellent. I don't know if he's going to win rookie year, but I think he's going to be excellent.
I mean, no matter what, you know, and I've always appreciated this, you always can expect this, at least as far as the Central Division is concerned, you can expect the St. Louis Cardinals to be right up there when the season ends.
6'4", 220 pounds. We want to call him George or Jorge?
I'll call him whatever he wants. Just don't call him late for dinner.
Exactly. Is he another Cuban defect or something?
Yes.
What do you think about this starting pitch now after Lester? I mean, Arrieta is okay. Hamill.
Very questionable.
Edwin Jackson.
Travis Wood. Big question mark with Jackson.
I mean, I was just saying about the Cardinals because I love watching the Cardinals. I mean, I was there last year to see a couple of games at the new ballpark, and it's just, you know, no matter what you do with these guys, they just keep coming back.
Now, see, is it me? I mean, a lot of people downplay them, like they're not going to be anything special, but I think the Cardinals are going to be real good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Because there's not a weakness on that team.
These guys, Matt Holliday, they added Jason Heyward.
Yep.
He'll be okay.
Oh, he's going to do wonders over there.
You got Colton Wong at second's very good. These guys all got experience. They knocked off the Dodgers. John Jay in center field.
Mm-hmm.
Adams at first base. He's a big, bulky power guy, Matt Adams, and Matt Carpenter at third base.
Yep.
And the best catcher in baseball.
Without question.
And the pitching, right.
Wainwright, Lance Lynn, John Lackey, and Michael Walk is pretty good.
I can't see how anybody,
I got to be honest with you. I think this team, St. Louis, can be right in the mix there.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cincinnati is going to have a strong season. If you look at their lineup with Bruce, I think Votto comes back strong. They got Hamilton, the speedster in there. I think they're going to be good.
Well, Hamilton's going to play a full season this year, right? Yeah.
Can you imagine? I was just going to say,
are you going to put an over-under on 100 steals for Hamilton?
Yeah.
No, but I'll say he gets 60.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see it.
I still think the Central is a tougher division than the other two.
Without question.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna get a powerhouse team every time.
You didn't even talk about Pittsburgh. They still got Stalin.
Even
Marte, they got McCutcheon, they got a bunch of guys.
They got a decent pitcher staff. Pittsburgh's got a good pitcher staff as well.
Even Milwaukee's gonna be tough. So every team in that division is not gonna be, I mean, again, Chicago obviously is probably gonna be at the bottom, but you know what? They're not gonna be the easy team that they were last year.
No, I think they'll be competitive.
But the wild card is
I think it'd be too tough for them to make the playoffs, especially with Pittsburgh and St. Louis.
So it's a foregone conclusion that we're picking. Everyone thinks that the Cardinals are winning that division. I would say.
I would give Pittsburgh a good shot.
I would give Pittsburgh a run.
I don't think last year was a one-shot deal for them. The only team that I do not think is going to win is Milwaukee. I do not think they're going to win anything in that division.
Neither do I.
Sometimes you just don't know what a team's going to do. It's not like we sit here and study baseball. I mean, I'm so focused on hockey right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I haven't dissected spring training all these last
years.
The one thing I don't think is I don't think Milwaukee's going to be in the mix, which probably means they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
But I would still, and I understand St. Louis was first and Pittsburgh was second, but I would still give those guys the nod. The only team I thought really underachieved, and they went through some big injuries last year, was the Cincinnati Reds. I think they really do have a good lineup. Mm-hmm. If you pull it up and look at it, they got some strong hitters in that lineup.
Did the Dodgers win the West? I'm picking them to win the West.
I would probably go with the Dodgers.
I would go with Dodgers.
I mean, Yasiel Puig has to be big this season for them. They got Gonzalez at first base.
They got a great pitcher.
He's an excellent defensive first baseman they can hit.
And they have the best pitcher in baseball.
They got a great pitcher staff. Now, a couple of guys are banged up, right?
Right.
So you got to deal with that, and their bullpen isn't necessarily.
They lost. I mean, even though it's they lost their speedster in D. Gordon.
Right.
He left. So it's there's a couple.
That guy was big. He was a contact.
Yeah.
He was big going around.
A lot of steals. They get good base runner, and it's going to be an interesting situation. So like the last 10 minutes we got before the hour ends here, let's look at the American League now. Yeah. Obviously, we're not all American League guys, but. Again, you love the situation that Kansas City had last year. Great Cinderella story. Get to Game 7 of the World Series. You got to love it. But you know what? They obviously take the hit. They lost Shields. They lost a couple of other guys.
I don't know if they can repeat that.
You look at the Detroit Tigers, obviously. They won that division by one game last year. And having Price there for a full season. Yes, they lost Scherzer, but they get Price coming in. Do they repeat themselves? I know we have the Cleveland guy over here. So what do you think?
I'm going with Detroit myself. I don't think Kansas City.
Oh, to win the division.
I don't think Kansas City is making the playoffs this year. My opinion.
They might not, but they got some good young pitchers.
Let me tell you something about the White Sox now. The White Sox just beefed up their bullpen. They got Dave Robertson, the closer.
Right, that's the White Sox. You're talking about. I'm
just saying that's why Kansas City. I'm making a point why Kansas City's not making the playoffs this year. Detroit's winning that division, and I believe the White Sox are going to get second place.
Well, what did Detroit do last year after they acquired David Price? What did they do? Then they kind of fall apart after that point? I mean, Kansas City almost caught them for the division.
Yeah, I mean, they only lost 90 wins. It was one game, and Kansas City 89, right, yeah.
Listen, Kansas City played small ball. They played defense, and they ran.
Yep.
And they bunted with it. I mean, Yost did a great job managing that team. Okay,
he got the best out of every player.
Let's not forget, listen, say what you want. They got good young pitchers and starting staff. They might have the best 1-2 combo in the bullpen between Holland and Wade Davis, right?
You get to the sixth inning on those guys, it was lights out. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just the two of them. You got to the sixth and seventh, you had trouble, too.
Okay, so Lorenzo Cain is he's a big guy, and he's a good defender in center field. You added Alex Rios, so maybe he has a bounce back year, because he was very good when he was out with the White Sox years ago.
He's getting up there a little bit. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
He played for Texas, all right? Yeah. So I like Rios, and Gordon's another gold glover out in left field, all right? And so is Hosmer's an excellent fielding first baseman. He's young. He can pick up with the stick, and Moustakas the third can field. I mean, all these guys can field. Escobar, Infante, they all play solid defense. So their game is defense and running.
Well, you were talking about the White Sox, John, but you got a big question mark here. I mean, you have obviously the great season that Abreu had last year, but why did they go out and pick up another first baseman, Adam LaRoche?
Yeah, we got LaRoche. LaRoche is going to.
Are you going to make Abreu your DH?
I guess he's going to DH him a little more.
He might DH a little bit, but LaRoche could DH also. No,
yeah.
LaRoche had a great year last year.
LaRoche is a great glove at first base.
I think they beefed up there actually, and Abreu's going to be more of a bat.
I like Jose Abreu a lot. Alexei Ramirez is okay.
Cabrera.
Products he's taking at the time. Yeah, he's all right.
Right, he had a good year last year. Exactly. He's off that. Now he's getting tested. Yeah. And they also have the guy, a stud closer. This is the reason why it's going to be a good battle. That's going to be.
What about the rest of their bullpen, though?
The Central's going to be a great.
Robertson is an excellent closer, but what about the rest of their bullpen?
Look
at their starters. Now, Chris Sale is excellent.
Yeah,
probably. Banged up in training.
Samardzija will be a nice addition.
Do you think Samardzija is like a lockdown pitcher?
Is he going to be a nice addition?
Is he going 15-8? I don't know.
I think Samardzija's going to win 13-15 games this year.
Really? Yeah. That'd be a first.
Write that down.
Yeah.
All right.
Write that down.
Came from the Cubs.
Quintana.
Well, he came from Oakland. He went to Oakland during the stretch.
Right, exactly.
You think their starting pitching is more impressive than Kansas City?
He had a low 3 ERA, Samardzija. He puts the innings in there, too.
John Danks.
Chris Sale is excellent.
Danks kind of stinks.
Yeah.
He was decent a few years ago, but
you hope he has a turn back. That's all. I mean,
Sale and Samardzija.
But you know what? That gives you two solid lefties.
Samardzija is 36-48 lifetime.
He was on the Cubs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the answer for everything.
He went to Oakland and went 5-6. If he wins 15 games, I'll give you credit like that guy wanted to with the horse racing.
Yeah.
I still got to look into that with your statistics there.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Obviously,
don't forget about Kansas City.
They have the second best catch. Obviously, looking at the East, Baltimore took a big hit. They lost Cruz.
Well, you're a big Baltimore fan.
I'm a big Baltimore fan. They lost
Cruz.
You think that's a huge loss?
They only had him for 1 year.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the home run total.
That home run total was big.
But you get back Wieters and Machado, though.
You do get Machado, right? And Machado's only 22.
And Matt Wieters, he's an excellent hitting catcher.
Yeah, I mean.
But the guy they had last year was on fire. Who was the backup catcher that filled in for Wieters? That guy was on fire.
Oh, I know.
He had a great year last year. I can't think of his name right now.
He's so good, you don't even know his name.
I'm not going to pretend like I know Caleb Joseph.
Well, now listen. You're a big Orioles fan, okay? So okay. I understand your point out. And listen,
Caleb Joseph.
Cruz had a great year for them last year at the plate,
40 homers.
But like I said, you get Wieters back and Machado
back.
And what if Davis just changes his act around? I mean, he batted like Dave Kingman style last year, maybe even worse. He batted like .195.
I don't think
so. What if he gets his
who's
act?
Who's the other guy that just retired? The one that batted
Adam
Dunn. To me, he was like an Adam Dunn type player almost.
I mean, what
if he changes his act around this year and gets going with the batting average somewhere?
I mean,
pitching staff that you're going with?
I like Adam Jones a lot in center field.
Yeah.
He's a great all-around player.
You got Ubaldo Jimenez is your number one.
I mean, is he number one?
Britton is a good closer, but he is the reason the Orioles lost in the playoffs.
I agree.
Okay? Yeah. But he's got that experience now. He never had it before.
He's
an excellent closer.
You got O'Day
and Matsuzas set up guys. So their bullpen's it's set up pretty good. Now they're starting pitching. Talk about that. I mean, you're the Orioles fan. So tell me, who do you like? You like Tillman? You like Chen?
I'm not thrilled with the starting pitching, to be honest with you.
But it might be okay.
Why in Chen?
When is Bundy going to come up? When is that guy Dylan Bundy that they had in the minor league supposed to be his great minor league for all these years he did?
I've heard partial head case with him too. So that's
supposed to be a.
But now that's the question. I mean, obviously they went almost end to end to win the East this year. Do you think that a Toronto or even the Yankees or the Red Sox
I think Boston beats up their team.
Really, you think Boston?
Yeah, look at that lineup. Now they got Hanley. Toronto's a good pick. I like Toronto too.
Toronto's got a lot of power.
I like Boston's lineup because I'm a big Kung Fu Panda fan.
Plus, they got Hanley.
And you said they added Hanley Ramirez. That's fine. But they start pitching, I think they're in for a rude awakening.
I'm sorry.
Clay Puckholtz stunk last year, and that's their opening day starter. There's nothing special about Porcello. He's all right.
Wade Miley?
Justin Masterson
was a Cleveland.
Had one decent year for the Indians, and then he got pounded, and that's why he's out of town now. Forget about it. They're lucky that Corey Kluber was as good as he was last year. Justin Masterson will get pounded. Someone will abuse that green monster. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
If anything's going to kill Boston, like people are going to love them because
they
brought in Kung Fu Panda. They got Napoli, Pedroia, who are only getting older. They got Victorino. He's only older. And Ramirez, he hasn't been as dominant as he was.
Victorino isn't even slated as your starting right fielder. They got Betts starting as your right fielder, according to the
really?
Chart.
Oh, so Bradley's in center field for them?
Castillo.
Oh, Castillo. All right.
Napoli's going to play first, and Ortiz in that stadium is a beast. That guy's 35 homers every year.
He's older now, but he's a check swing.
It's a home run. No, I agree with you with the pitching. The pitching is very questionable.
And I don't think their bullpen's anything special either.
No.
They're all right.
Yohara's okay. You know, he had a good year last year.
I would still give the Orioles the edge coming back. I think the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Yankees maybe even more so,
have a lot
to prove because of the age and their
life. Yankees have a good pitching staff going into this, though.
Yeah, because they're thinking about the past. Captain Crunch. Okay, Sabathia has a bum knee. Came back from surgery. He weighs 300 pounds or whatever.
Yeah, he put the weight back on.
How long do you think that holds up?
He's number three in the rotation, though.
Okay. Tanaka's
waiting
for his elbow to blow out.
Tanaka's one. Pineda's finally going to – he's settling in. He's number two.
Okay, here's the question for you guys, all right? Here's the question, because I don't know what goes on more in baseball. I don't know, and you answer this for me, Sweeney, since you seem to know it.
Yeah.
Are there more guys caught using PEDs, or are there more guys going in for Tommy John surgery? Because Tanaka is just waiting for his elbow to blow out, and you don't know what day it's going to happen.
And it was
that is like a
it was hanging
bomb.
Dangerously close last year, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so I can't bank on anything with the Yankees. You can't. It's impossible. Now, do they have the names there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Names. Tanaka was great before he got hurt last year. Sabathia in the past.
They got Andrew Miller in for the pen.
Andrew Miller stinks.
Andrew Miller's not sick. He had a good year last year.
Really?
So yeah,
we're going to bank on Andrew Miller? A decent stretch of pitching that he's going to be a
obviously he's going to be your eighth inning guy because you're going to have Betances closing. But this is a great story.
Right. He's a great story.
That's well, now listen, like I said, I'm not dissecting spring training, but all I've heard is he's not throwing up to par in spring training. He's getting hammered.
Well, they're going to alternate.
I saw the Mets pound him.
That's true. They did last week.
Spring training game.
Yep, last week.
My guy Legarra's jacked one out of the park.
But obviously the biggest situation is what's going to. I mean, obviously they got Gregorius in that deal with Arizona.
He looked okay.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's going to be so hard not seeing number two.
Yeah, you don't replace that. You got to move on, and here's your new shortstop.
Yep.
But he's looked okay when I saw him play. Listen, you got speed in the outfield with Gardner and Ellsbury.
Yes.
But Ellsbury didn't give you $23 million worth last year.
No.
Sorry.
No, not at all.
And Beltran is an old man also. All right. He don't even perform like guys like Ortiz and those kind of guys you bring up. Teixeira, he's another injury waiting to happen, or 6 weeks. He's like the groundhog. Mm-hmm. 6 weeks of no hitting before he does anything anyway.
When he was up in free agency, I was saying, oh, God, he's got to be an Oriole. He's a Maryland kid. He go back home, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he goes to the Yankees and gets hurt all of a sudden. I'm like, oh, thank God.
And speaking of guys who don't give you the money's worth, what did McCann do last year for that 18
million?
Right.
I agree with you.
Yep.
24.
Okay, so we got age and we got a lot of, let's see what they do out there with the Yankees.
Well, Miller had a 2.2 ERA last year. Out of the pen. Like
how many innings
said.
Did he throw?
He's coming out in the eighth innings. He's going to pitch seventh and eighth.
All right. Look down the rest of the pen.
You're right. It's a questionable. It's a big question mark.
David Carpenter. I don't even know who he is. Who's this other guy? I got to look up his first name. Justin Wilson. These are the guys. Chris Martin.
Esmiel Rogers.
I've never heard of these guys. I know Betances because he had a great year setting up for Robertson. Okay, so I'm familiar with him. But now he's going to be a closer. Still a different job.
Now, do you see who's the number five starter for the Yankees? Who the heck is Nathan Eovaldi?
Oh, he was on Florida, wasn't he?
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just didn't recognize the name.
He's probably adequate.
Obviously, Chris Capuano is your four.
The Yankees will always give you hope if you're a fan of theirs because they spent $500 million last year.
Exactly.
But you're looking at a lot of age, and you're banking on Tanaka and Sabathia coming back full time.
Wasn't that Chris Young's story a funny thing? With the Mets, he couldn't hit a beach ball. He goes to the Yankees, and the guy starts ripping homers like there's no tomorrow over there. You know, when he was with the Mets in the beginning of the year, he did nothing.
He was terrible.
He was absolutely terrible.
And we didn't even mention your favorite Yankee, A-Rod.
Yeah, A-Rod.
Well, we don't need to talk about that. That's for another day.
A-Rod's having a good spring.
He's probably the least of their worries because they want to run him out of town anyway.
All right, so that's our little bit of baseball talk. We're going to take another commercial break. We're at the end of the first hour here. And when we come back at 9:05, we're going to have Andy Graziano from Islanders Insight join us and talk a little bit about the metro area New York teams. And then we're going to take your calls around 9:25. So if you want to get on to Sports Talk 1230, the number is 631-888-8811. We want to hear Ranger fans, Islander fans, any whatever Tallahassee Roadhog hockey fans. We don't care. Come on and talk about it, all right? This is Gary, John, Derek, and John on Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.